We're going to go first to a meeting of the Oireachtas Committee on Health today, which heard from officials from the HSE and the Department of Health. The committee discussed the latest budgetary issues, waiting lists and the needs of an ageing population. Craig, to you first, maybe just a scene set for us. Who do we hear from today from the HSE and Department of Health? And maybe start first with the budgetary pressures that we're hearing about.
Sure. So, I guess the two main characters that were at the committee today were Robert Watt, the Secretary General of the Department of Health, and Damien McCallion, the Chief Operations Officer at the HSE. And that was quite a startling figure, but perhaps unsurprising from Robert Watt when he told the committee that after the first 4 months, the health budget was 500 million. Over budget. You recall last year that it was 960 million over budget and required a supplementary budget, ergo a bailout. Now, this is not surprising to me because last month we reported in the Irish Daily Mail that there was a confidential memo given to cabinet ministers that highlighted overspend in I think six departments, and there was a worrying message given to cabinet ministers that, you know, more needed to be done or else that would have significant impacts on the budgetary choices, you know, come budget time. So that's, and when we move on later on to talk about Marion's memo, I think this all feeds into it. But yet we seem to have this perennial problem each year in the health service. It's driven, we're told, 75% from the acute hospitals, which of course is demand led. So that is, you know, being driven by, I guess, delayed treatments post pandemic that people hadn't been getting. And also we have our aging population, which of course requires more health needs. So that's the kind of drivers behind it, which are difficult to go by. At the same time, we've the HSE and the department trying to implement new measures in Sláintecare care, but they've been forced to kind of stand still because they've no additional new money to work on that.
If we forecast out what you think is a likely figure in terms of the supplementary budget, if last year was 960 million, what do you think we're looking at this year?
Well, that confidential memo that we published details of last month, it said it would be over a billion, that they're on track for over a billion. So more than last year's one, in less dramatic changes are made. But again, it's very difficult when you have 75% of those costs being driven from the acutes, again, that are demand-led. That's really meaning that they're going to have to find new ways to reduce their existing budgetary measures if they're to come even below a billion at this stage. So it sounds outrageous, but that's the challenge facing them.
Some of the data also has put the number of people in some form of queue as high as like 900,000 people. Was there anything new in terms of waiting lists and how the HSE Department of Health is grappling with that part of the jigsaw puzzle?
So Damien McCallion said that there had been a 30% growth in the number of discharges from hospitals on Saturdays and Sundays. 10% on Sundays. So, I mean, this is kind of an age-old problem that had been causing build-up on trolleys whereby people aren't being discharged enough at the weekends, and this is kind of having a knock-on effect. And I know this is something that the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, was pushing quite a lot. And Robert Watt did say that waiting lists were down in 2023 for the second year in a row. He said that 177,000 more patients were removed from waiting lists last year than in 2022. And he also said that hospital emergency departments were seeing increased levels of demand with nearly 48,000 extra attendances up to mid-April.
Eimear Curry of Fine Gael, to bring you in. There's a certain inevitability, isn't there, tonight with those headlines of a 500 million overspend, given all of the debate since last October's budget?
Well, I think we've been debating health a long time, and we will continue to in relation to the budgets. There was good news today, though, as well, and I think he did recognise that there is significant progress being made in relation to the delivery of Sláintecare. And Craig did touch on the reduction in waiting lists. I mean, it's the second year in a row where the national waiting lists have fallen. The average waiting times are down. And I know that he spoke about the overcrowding in the emergency department. But despite that, there has been a 10% drop in patients waiting for trolleys. So, yes, the figures are stark, and the waiting list numbers have traditionally been stark. And it feels like we are running to catch up, and we're dealing with an ageing population and a growing population. But there are green shoots as well.
But like previous budgets would have indicated there was going to be need for more funding, more resources. So there is inevitability. Like, how do you account for government departments not being able to get the basic math right here, resource and equip a public health service?
Well, I think we are seeing an increase in resources. I mean, we've added 43,000 health staff in recent years. And in the last 4 years, 25,000 of those have been frontline staff. When it comes to health in the past, I think we've had an issue when it comes to funding and resources and a plan. I think, you know, a 23 billion health budget is a massive budget. We're showing that we're investing in the resources and we have a plan. We do, though, have to get control of our budget. And I think the government has been clear about that. But at the same time, we do have to manage capacity and demand and make sure that we're continuing, like we've got the highest life expectancy in Europe at the moment. And we need to maintain that.
Pat Daly of Sinn Féin, to bring you in, as you look at the math of this tonight, would Sinn Féin be prepared to pump in what is probably going to be a billion, according to Craig, and that memo to supplement the health service requirements this year?
Yeah, well, first of all, it is all very chaotic and the government has been totally inefficient in relation to it. And it does come down to funding, resources and a plan. But unfortunately, the government doesn't seem to have a plan. There is still no workforce plan, for example, for 2024. And we're in the middle of May. And I can see from my own constituency that South Dock in Listowel, the centre there, has been closed. There's a big lack of GPs around the county, particularly around South Kerry. And that is a lack of implementation of Sláinte Care, where it was supposed to be right care in the right place and at the right time. So there has been a lot of government inefficiency, but to answer your question, we had provided in the government for a billion more than what the government was going to put into the budget. They had allocated 100 million extra, I think it was, but that is clearly not good enough. And there's a half a billion, as you've said, overrun already this year. There has been way too many outsourced and agency work. I know that in my own University Hospital Kerry, it's around 10,000 to go to a private hospital to get your hip done. In 2018, nationally, there was 350 million spent on outsourcing and agency, and now it's 650 million. So that's a waste, and management consultancy fees are now running at 100 million per year. So in order to tackle the waiting list that has been spoken about already, speaking to people in my own hospital, they say that the embargo needs to be lifted, because in order to get the staff to tackle the long, long waiting list, and you mentioned 900,000 yourself, that's where you need to lift the embargo to get the staff in to tackle those waiting lists and whittle them down.
Marianne Harkin, to bring you in, what's your reaction to that overspend? We're only in May, and what it's likely going to look like in the months to come?
Well, either we severely under-budgeted, or whoever is in charge of the money and the different hospital groups is overspending in a way that is not delivering. And somebody has to be held accountable for that. It's not just enough that we hear every so often more money is needed. We have to know why that's the case. But I would go to what the INMO was saying today. They said that 92% of people in their organisation of nurses are afraid for patient safety. They have concerns around that because of understaffing. And while EMER says they've added staff, and they have, I mean, the INMO are working at the coalface. They know what's happening, and they have huge concerns around that. But it's not just workforce. It's also you need to add capacity into the health system. But I would say that there are some glimmerings, and I'm not speaking for government here, but there are some glimmerings that I've seen on the horizon. There recently, I attended a Zoom meeting with the HSE in the Northwest, and they spoke about how certain things like Pathfinder, which is the ambulance service bringing people to the right place at the right time, not just automatically bringing them to ED, and a number of other services where the community, the hospitals and the GPs are working together. But we need to see that rolled out nationally. It's good that it's happening there, and it's only just beginning. But I mean, we're into the last few months of this government, no matter what anybody says. And to see programmes like that just beginning is not good enough.
To your point there about accountability, who would you like to see made accountable when we see these vast overruns of budget? Is it hospital groups? Does it come back to management rather than these strictly enforced moratoriums? What's the solution there?
Well, the strictly enforced moratorium is a sledgehammer to crack a nut, because what you find is that in places where staff are urgently needed, they can't be brought on stream. Now, I know there are exceptions, but equally, in other places, then you may have staff that have been employed that it's not that they're not required, but maybe they're not as vital in the system as some other staff. Somebody has to be accountable for that within the system of governance. But one thing I will say, Anya, just before I finish on this, if you look last year at the four hospitals that had the highest trolley numbers for all of last year, they were all on the West Coast: Limerick, Cork, Galway, Sligo. That tells you about investment in the health services in the regions.
Pat Daly of Sinn Féin, and I'm curious how you would respond on that question of accountability. Is more needed there at a more localised level?
Yeah, well, Marion mentioned extra beds, and we said that there should be 3,000 extra beds, 1,800 in the acute hospitals and 1,200 in the community. And for example, in Kerry alone, 65 extra beds would make a huge dent into the step-down beds that are needed, but that is not being delivered. There's a new hospital with extra beds, but it's not going to increase the number at any time. Marion also mentioned in relation to extra beds, the elective hospitals. You know, if you wanted to fix the problem, you have to have a plan. There is still no site available yet for the Dublin elective hospital, and Cork and Galway haven't even got that far to choosing a site. And another thing, there has to be a digital transformation of the whole health service.
That's digital records for patients.
Yeah, that's on the minister's. That's on him. There are still paper records in a lot of hospitals. There are still no electronic patient records. So that means that you can collect the data. So to collect all that, to speak to all of the other health areas, that's not possible at the moment. There's no integrated in waiting list or financial planning. They're not speaking to each other. And how can you have an overall plan for the 26 counties when you don't have that in place?
Emer Curry of Fine Gael, there's a lot in there. Mm-hmm. Is there need for just radical prioritisation here and some tough choices, like ending the moratorium and deciding let's go and invest in our frontline workers? That's going to help pull down the waiting list. Yes, it may cost more than what was budgeted for, but make some hard choice, prioritise. Is that what's lacking here at the moment?
Well, just to, in response to what Pa said about the elective hospitals, actually, I'm really pleased to say that Blanchardstown has been identified as a potential site for one of those hospitals to deal with things like hip replacements and elective surgeries. None, I think, it's easy for us to say what decisions need to be made. But the reality is, as Pa and Marion have both said, we do need more resources, yet we need to be more efficient. We do need more beds, but we have to mind our costs. We're in a position where when it comes to our ageing population, 50% of the people that use hospital day beds are over 75 years. So things are becoming more complex, they're becoming more challenging, and we have to make sure that we are responding to those needs but being efficient with our budget.
And you raise that really important point of the ageing population coming at a time when there is need for more resources, more beds. And we might play a clip from Secretary General Robert Watt from the Department of Health at that committee meeting today.
Despite the progress we're making, we see every day the immense challenges we face. Our population increases and, of course, gets older. We see these trends in increased presentations for emergency departments in particular. And we know the centrality of moving to integrated care models as set out in meeting these challenges. Notwithstanding our progress in this regard, it's worth noting that we currently have a population over age 65 of 800,000. By 2031, it's estimated that this number will reach 1 million, and by 2041, it'll reach 1.3 million, and nearly 1.6 million a subsequent decade, double that today. So I think this puts into context, Chair, the enormous challenges that we face now and into the future in dealing with the consequences of ageing, which of course is a positive, but does transform fundamentally the nature of the services that we have to provide for a different cohort and more people within those older groups.
Craig Hughes of the Irish Daily Mail, maybe to bring you in there. So we're seeing this upward trajectory when it comes to an ageing population, which one would assume is going to require upward trajectory when it comes to budget requirements. What are you seeing in terms of government road mapping and allowances and forecastings against that?
Well, let's look at what the government has said they're going to do this year at the budget. They said they're going to stick finally to their spending rule of only increasing expenditure by 5% in the next budget. So if you look at, say the health budget alone, when you're already going to have this dramatic, this overspend in it, there's not really giving you much wiggle room next time out after you've met the overspend to implement major new expenditure to do anything drastic. That's simply not going to happen. The two money ministers have said, Pascal Dunne and Michael McGrath, that they intend to stick within that spending rule this year. So when you said, why can't we do anything radical and suddenly meet all those recruitment costs? Well, that's one of the primary barriers in stopping that.
Eamonn Curry, on that, Fine Gael, not leaving yourself much wiggle room. So are we just going to constantly come back and repeat the cycle here of having to go back for more supplementary budgets, looking at high waiting list issues, but also looking at these trend lines around an ageing population when there's a potential opportunity maybe to be more proactive now?
Well, I think Minister Donoghue has been quite firm about having to be prudent within the spend. It doesn't change the challenges. We all want to see Sláinte Care being implemented. Today, I think, has really shone a light on the extent to which the ageing population is going to dominate going forward. And like I've said, there just aren't easy answers here. And it's easy for us to point the finger and say, you know, you should be doing more of this or more of that. But it comes down to health outcomes. And we do have to strike the balance between both.
Paddy, yeah. Or Sinn Féin, no easy answers, have to strike the balance.
Well, yeah, of course there are no easy answers, but the short-termism approach that was introduced with all the outsourcing and the agency work is coming home to roost now, in that the amount of money is actually being spent is practically doubled. So that's not efficient. That's not using your resources properly. There is going to be more of an issue with the fastest growing age demographic in Europe, I understand, and I think it's going to, the figure that we had was it's going to be 1.5 million people over the age of 65 by 2051. So, and a lot of the immigrants that are coming into the country are going to be working in our nursing homes and in our hospitals. So we have to have a plan to try and deal with that. We have to make it more attractive to become, for example, a home help. We have to give them their travel expenses that they're looking for and give them a living wage. Otherwise, you won't be able to recruit into that sector. And you also have to train more people, train the OTs, train the nurses and the people who are going to be in the community, in the ICPOPs, the OTs. We trained a lot of them at one stage and they're all in Canada or Australia now.
I'm wondering then...
Marion Harkin, yeah, come in on
that's
that.
That's the point I'd like to come in on there. I agree with Pa about home care, it's crucial. But staying with the Sláinte Care and the healthcare workforce, we have to train these people, but somehow we have to manage to keep them here. Now, I know there are massive issues around housing, which we won't go into now and all of that, but somehow we have to be able to keep the people we train in this country, because we are hemorrhaging, you know, our workforce, and we're relying on other countries to supply us. There's something fundamentally wrong about that situation. Should be a healthy mix, but right now it's an unhealthy mix. And whether we look on the healthcare workforce as a sector that is a special sector, and that we provide certain incentives, whatever they might be, that Pascal Donoghue feels we could afford, I think we must afford. Somehow we have to entice people back, because I am really concerned what I hear from the INMO, where so many healthcare staff are at the end of their tether. They're overworked. A job that they love doing is becoming more and more difficult. And, you know, sometimes you cross a line, and I don't want to see that happening.
Finally and briefly, the final word to you as we round this out, Craig Hughes.
Well, I was just going to ask if Sinn Féin still want to reduce the pension age now that you're acknowledging, Pa, the deep impacts of the demographic shifts that we're going to face.
Well, we certainly want to reduce from the original 68 that the government had proposed in the last election. That's correct. But in relation to this point, it's all tied in together, the extra home helps, the respite care. We can't discharge people from the hospital beds. We need obviously more hospital beds, but we can't be more efficient in dealing with the people who are receiving treatment in there and maybe unnecessarily remaining in hospitals such as University Hospital Kerry if we can't discharge them into the community if the workers aren't there to take care of them.
That was one of the figures from today, and that there are more patients being older people being discharged home rather than to acute hospitals. So again, we are seeing trends moving in the right direction.
Yeah, but not okay. Enough. Clearly, anyone who's on the ground in my constituency will tell you that there aren't enough in the community to deal with
the people. Okay, we're going to leave that there.
Nothing happens overnight, but we're moving in the right direction.
Okay, and we have a text here which is obviously commenting on this stat that we've seen about the number of managers, administrators growing in the health service has increased by almost 35% since 2019. And our texter says HSE is layer upon layer of quote-unquote management following the mistake amalgamation of the regional health boards 25 years ago, diagnose and accept the failure of the mistake and affect treatment with a root and branch cut, too many chiefs and too few workers. We're going to go to a break back after these.
The Late Debate on RTE Radio 1.